जय श्री श्री बोधिदानंद स्वामी प्रभुपाद तिरुबा महामहोत की जय। So in trying to understand such a great soul, we actually look to what the great Vaishnavas, our Guru Varga, what have they said? Mahajano yena katha sapanta. If we want to get some actual insight, because we may have our own way of seeing, and that's all right, but we'll gain greater appreciation if we try to come under the influence of the conception of the Vaishnava. Vaishnavi pratishtha tate kori nishtha. We have faith in how they see. Because even Krishna himself is not properly understood or fully understood. That's part of the beauty of the Krishna conception. So, therefore, I was invoking Srila Gurudev's observation when he said that, well, we're talking about ego. And he said the Western ego. So the sloka says, what's keeping us separated from Krishna? Although he's near and dear, why is it, you know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in one place, Vinod bole hai hai Haridas Harinahi pai. I'm Haridas, I'm Krishna Das, but where's Krishna? You know, what is this situation? So this sloka says that there's a mountain of ego separating. So Srila Gurudev would say that Srila Swami Arya Prabhupada, he blasted a tunnel through the Western ego. It's like they use dynamite to make a tunnel in a mountain. See that especially in Switzerland and other parts of Europe where they've dynamited these mountains. So that's such a great compliment because, and then he said, then we can easily pass through. So part of his style was what somewhere has been referred to as aggressive mercy. In that he delighted in attacking scientists and others. Guru Maharaj said he referred to United Nations, UNESCO, as a bunch of barking dogs. Scientists, he would say, we kick on their face. And of course, this would delight the devotees too, to hear him speak in this way. I mean, although physically his stature was small, he appeared to really be infinite. I mean, just so grand and so noble with his head held high and his cane and his aristocratic ways. It's that when Srila Gurudev, you know, you can imagine, as a 17-year-old boy, Guru Maharaj rented room from Swami Maharaj, who was living in Calcutta, a place called Sitakant Banerjee Lane. And that was sort of the Calcutta preaching center of Chaitanya Saraswat Math. Guru Maharaj would be there sometimes, but here in Navadvip, and Gurudev would be there collecting, preaching, and with Swami Maharaj as a father figure, role model, advisor, affectionate well-wisher. It's been said that Srila Gurudev, he was Govinda Maharaj, was like the son Swami Maharaj always wanted. He had some sons, he had and high hopes for them that they would be devotees. But Srila Govinda Maharaj, he fulfilled that role. So, and you know, I've mentioned before, we know Swami Maharaj, like for breakfast, he would have like some puris and some Alubaja or Aludam or something. And he would say, Gorindu, Gurudev's Brahmacharya, here, take something. And Govinda Maharaj would say, no, I will take Muri, that is sufficient. And Swami Maharaj would say, that is simply cheating the stomach. Because he took, his ways were a little different, because he lived in Vrindavan for so many years, and everything had to be cooked in ghee. And ISKCON, I don't know if it's true now, but oil was forbidden. Everything, only ghee could be used in the kitchen. So, and his form, as Guru Maharaj said, Shaktadeshavatar, you could see his body was surcharged with Krishna Shakti. So it's like appearing like golden, effulgent, translucent at times. So I've been thinking about it for some years and haven't got all each aspect down, but this famous sloka about the appearance of Mahaprabhu, Suvarna Varna He Mango, what's the next line? Varangas Chandanagadi Sanyasakrich Chamashanto Nishta Shanti Parayana. It can apply to him, actually. This is an amazing thing. It doesn't mean to say he's Mahaprabhu is Mahaprabhu, but this verse, interestingly, it very clearly applies to Srila Swami Maharaj. It's the same. In his household, in the beginning, right, he's in the Suvarna Varna. Here we can take Suvarna Varna to mean the Suvarna Vani, which is a caste. And Guru Maharaj has mentioned something about this. The Suvarnabhanics, they're gold merchants, they're merchants, they're Vaishyas. And it happens to be that Nityananda Prabhu liked them very much. They liked him, he liked them, there's some affection exchange between them. So we say, Suvarnabhana Hemango, and Prabhupada, he did look like a golden colored, his limbs, and Barangas Chandanagadi. He's always covered with sandalwood, with chandan. Like after he would bathe, they would make sandalwood pulp. First of all, he would have to be, and what made him look even more golden is his body being massaged in mustard oil. So he would always be massaged in mustard oil, and then bathe, and afterwards take chandan, and it would be put all over his forehead, different parts of his body, but he's covered in chandan. You see so many pictures of him, you'll see him, mainly his forehead, completely covered in chandan. And there's so much going on in his divine brain, maybe for a little cooling effect. Because while everyone else slept, by 10 o'clock or so at night, that's when he stayed up all night translating Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamritam, and other books. Amazingly, you could see him all the whole night, and sometimes taking a little bit of rest, but doing that the whole night because that's when it was peaceful or quiet. And then Mangalarati, everything else. And then of course he left householder ashram and took sannyas. And we know from Srila Guru Maharaj, he may have mentioned that when he was in Vrindavan, first of all, his sister, Baba Tarini Devi, everyone affectionately called Pishima, she looked like Prabhupada, like a clone of Prabhupada, but in feminine form. The resemblance was that striking. And she is also a devotee. She wanted to take initiation from Srila Guru Maharaj. He wasn't initiating at the time. So he sent her to Srila Goswami Maharaj, to Prakriti Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. And she used to make so many things for him, and but be frustrated because he would take all the things she made and then mix them all together and then take. Not eat them separately, but mix them all together. But anyway, she told Prabhupada, she said, Prabhu, his name was Abhay Charanaravinda, his initiated name, that you've met your family obligations as far as is reasonable. Now you just go to Vrindavan and preach, and we'll take care of whatever loose ends there are. Don't worry about it. And he got many, Saraswati Thakur kept appearing to him in a recurring dream, saying, come out with me, that he should take sannyas. And in his own words, probably, he said, I thought, oh, horrible, how horrible. I'll, have to leave my family situation and like that. But he got the inspiration to do that and went to Vrindavan, and he wrote one postcard to Srila Guru Maharaj saying that I'm totally disgusted with human civilization, and I think the animals are more friendly to me. I have a good relation with them, but not with human beings. And we know he established, he got a room in the Radha Damodar temple of all places. Everything is significant in his life, and that's the place of Jiva Goswami, where he cared for Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis. And you see the Bhajan Kutir of Rupa Goswami, and his samadhi is there along with Jiva Goswami. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami as well. And from that place, we've seen with our own eyes that when he made his translation of the Bhagavatam, he couldn't afford paper. So he got used paper, and that was typed on one side, he typed on the other side. So if you look at the original manuscripts, you'll see on the other side all kinds of things written, because that's the paper he was using. It was that frugal, and it was on that level that he was somehow surviving. Because he said once he took sannyas, he wrote in one of his poems, now the only thing that remains of my family life is a long list of names. At that point, no one wanted to have anything to do with him, because he wasn't financially viable. But there, in pursuance of the order of Srila Saraswati Thakur, he was translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And sometimes he would say to Srila Guru Maharaj that, don't you remember when Prabhupada told me to go to the West to preach? And Srila Guru Maharaj said, I couldn't remember precisely, because Saraswati Thakur was saying this all the time to the devotees. So much so, he said, there was one man whose job was cultivation, crop cultivation, and he was studying English. And someone said, Prabhu, what are you studying English for? He said, well, Prabhupada said, we'll have to go to the West, and maybe someday I'll be cultivating fields in America. So, you mean to say it was like on that level, being hammered into the devotees about the importance of preaching in the Western world. So, when Swami Maharaj said to Guru Maharaj, do you remember when, and Guru Maharaj said, I couldn't remember that specific time. But it also shows the mystical nature of the instructions of the Guru, how they're also direct and personal. And so he says himself that you know, a friend of his took him to see Saraswati Thakur, and at the first meeting, he said he argued in favor of Indian independence. I'm saying, who will take us seriously until we have independence? So it seems that we should get independence first and then push Mahaprabhu's movement. And in his own words, he said, Saraswati Thakur, he defeated me. And when his friend said, so what did you think of the meeting with Saraswati Thakur? He said, I think we've met the person, that competent person who's, you know, got the rudder for Mahaprabhu's movement, who's going to, he's the competent, capable leader. And so Prabhupada said he'd be back in his pharmacy or dealing with, and where Indira Gandhi was one of his customers, he used to call her Indu, to come by and get medicine from him. And she once later asked him, when he met with her, when she was the prime minister, she said, are there any CIA in your organization? I said, that you have to find out. I don't. He didn't say no. Because that was a rumor when we came to India many years ago, that we were CIA operatives. In the guise of the, it was a CIA plot to infiltrate India. But anyway, so he said, but he'd be at work in the pharmacy or in his chemical company, and then he would sort of daydream and remember Saraswati Thakur and think, oh, such a wonderful sadhu I met. He would become lost in remembrance of him, and then put his attention back to the business at hand. Also at that Sitakant Banerjee Lane where he had his office downstairs, when Guru Maharaj would be there, they would be lost for hours in discussion, Krishna Katha, Gaur Katha, Shastra Katha. But some people said, oh, by all of this, his business suffered. You know, he could have been successful, but always talking about Krishna and eager to hear about Krishna. And very humble, you think such a person otherwise, but like when Gurudev was there, Gurudev was a young brahmachari in Saffron. Swamiraj was a householder, but Swamiraj would arrange programs. But he knows in India how much they respect this color. So he'd give Gurudev as a boy the Vyasasan and the book and say, you read from that, I'll give the explanation. So because he was the brahmachari, he'd give him the primary position and Gurudev would read it, and then Swamiraj would explain, they'd have kirtan. Yeah. So, and that's why we should also note this, that not every program has to be one with hundreds or thousands of people or tens of thousands of people. That's wonderful. But like all preachers, he did, who knows, innumerable programs at someone's house for the family members, a few people, a gathering of businessmen, whatever it was. Whoever was willing to come, he'd schedule some program or an event and happily preach there. Maybe it was 5, 10, 15 people. These huge numbers came later when he did programs, the Delhi Pandal. There's like 30,000 people there. He did Pandal programs in Delhi, Bombay, Calcutta, and there's tens of thousands of people in attendance. And because someone once asked him, it said, oh, Prabhupada, how many devotees does it take to open the temple? Because they were thinking, well, you have to have like the president, the treasurer, you know, secretary, the cook, the pujari, mat commander, the pujari, you know, temple collection, etc. And so in response to how many devotees do you need, he said, one. He said, just like I'm doing. Because he is doing, at that time, the collection, the kirtan, the reading, the book distribution, the cooking, everything. What Gurudev would call an all-rounder. He said, you only need one man. Of course, we want, then more come to assist. But one sincere person, as he was, he went into a park in New York City in Greenwich Village in the middle of the 60s where a bunch of hippies would hang out and beatniks doing what they do. That's where he showed up with like a mridanga and kartal, started having a kirtan, and some people would gather around and he'd give a little talk. One of his early disciples, Achyutananda, told Guru Maharaj that when he first saw him, he thought Swami Maharaj was a hippie. You know, because a lot of wild hippies dressed in some exotic way, beating on something, he thought, like. But then he, like, when he heard him speak and was overwhelmed by his potency, his sincerity, the profundity of his message. So gradually, some people, the early devotees, they started revering him, and by his divine grace, they gained the capacity to appreciate what he was saying. Because even that comes from the devotee. The capacity to appreciate what's being said is also gifted. Otherwise, they're not understanding, really, what he's saying. But as Guru Maharaj quoted from his childhood, hearing this Vedic aphorism, avritir sarva shastranam bodhadapi gaurīrsi. It's not as important to understand as to continue hearing. He said, then gradually, like ice, it's solid, and then gradually it melts. So sometimes the slokas seem to be, or what's being said seems to be impenetrable, and gradually in time it's revealed. So as they came under his influence, surrendered to him, then they became empowered. And it's interesting to note that for the, what do you say, the most part, the Krishna consciousness movement was expanded. You can make a case that expanded around the world through, you know, flawed agents. Right? Meaning, his disciples, they're not perfect. But how is it, what was going through them in their representation to other people? Like Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tara Pravartan. Something, because he was solely, wholly, exclusively dedicated to the order of Saraswati Thakur, then he became this, as Guru Maharaj says, Shaktivesh empowerment, that those who came in connection with him, they also became empowered. So that even though their representation, and I can see that being one of them, is flawed in so many ways, still some potency was there to bring people would perceive something. They wouldn't necessarily understand it or get a clear, but in their hearts, Hridayena Vyanu Gyato Yodharmastha Nibodhata, the heart would resonate and they'd come forward and offer themselves. Right? As they told Guru Maharaj, rough things I've brought you, like the classic, thing, you know, a diamond in the rough kind of thing. You know, refine them. So I saw that in a short time, practically 10 years, that the Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. What so many were trying to do, and with varying degrees of success, suddenly there was this revolution going on, as envisioned by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, predicted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, predicted by Mahaprabhu, and Saraswati Thakur set it into motion in the form of the Gaudiya Math, but here it became realized to the extreme So Guru Maharaj said that Srila Saraswati Thakur, when he had Professor Nishikanta Sanyal prepare the book Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and that book was to form the basis of the Western preaching. So he said Saraswati Thakur's idea was he was going to spend the next 10 years of his life in the West, in England and the West, preaching. But he left the world, some say, prematurely. But Guru Maharaj said, but Swami Maharaj Prabhupada gave him those 10 years that he wanted. So he gave him those 10 years of preaching in the West, and Krishna consciousness spread everywhere. As we heard, there are many examples people have given to events that fact. I have my own, which was on a TV show in Siberia. It's similar to, I can't top what you told me yesterday, but it's geographically near and, you know, and maybe more, what's the word, savory? Wholesome, or is that, so I'm on this TV show in Siberia, and he's very friendly. He's kind of like the local new age hip guy on TV. He's asking me, how extensive is this, you know, Krishna consciousness? And I'd just been on tour. We were in Ukraine, in Odessa, and we wanted to go from there to a country, Moldova. But there's like a long way you go, or there's this one small area of land where they've declared themselves a country. No one recognizes them. I don't know of any other country that gives them recognition, but they say that. So if the shortcut is you have to go through their country, otherwise you have to go around them, it takes many more hours. So I said, why can't we do that? They said, well, we have to get a visa. There's a guy in a trailer who collects your money and stamps it. So in this country, I can't even say the name because I'm not even sure what it is. They say like a country with no name. I go into the trailer to get a visa and I walk in and the guy goes, Hare Krishna! So I said, if you want to know how extensive this is, in countries that don't even exist, we're known. Okay, they know about it. So Srila Prabhupada, we can say also that it's mentioned that a Mahabhagavata, you know, you're in the presence of a Mahabhagavata because we're told the Kanishtha Bhagavat is taking the name of Krishna, real name of Krishna. Madhyam Bhagavat has a substantial connection, is always taking Krishna Nam. But the Mahabhagavata, they cause you to take Krishna Nam, descends within you in their presence, and you vibrate Krishna Nam. And I can say that from my own practical experience. Maybe the first time that I met him, sort of one-on-one, which was a thrilling moment. Somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, he was in between servitors, like Gurudev at Koka. There was no Koka for a brief period while they were getting the new one. And he was in his quarters in New York. And when I got, somehow I was sent in there to assist him for a very short time, like an hour or something. But it was just he and I. And when I saw him, the Maha Mantra descended in me and, you know, was very strong. Being vibrated in my being. And at that time, so I got to serve him, prasadam. And he was always interested in preaching. And he asked me, what sort of preaching I was doing. And I told him, and one thing I was doing at the time with another devotee is preaching to the local Indian community in New York. There are a lot of them there. And we'd go there, a little prasadam, talk to them, preach to them, get contributions, donations. And I said, but Prabhupada, I said, sometimes it's very difficult to preach to Indian people. And he looked up. I said, you know, because they will say, oh, I know what is Krishna. And Prabhupada laughed like that. And he said, that is their disease. I remember the way he said it. Their disease. And it's, my body just sort of went. Because that's the book Bhagavat, the person Bhagavat. He loved the Jnane Priyasimudapasanamateva sloka, and the Janantu Eva Janantu. It's that sloka personified. Others may say they know Krishna, but that is their disease. So his preaching is very strong, fierce at times, extreme, you know, potent to the extreme, and delivered with the greatest relish. You hear Srila Prabhupada in any lecture quoting some particular slokas from the Bhagavatam. They may be about Atmagyan, the soul, or what we call the primary teachings of Gaudiya Vaishnava, but they're delivered with such relish. You can hear that in his voice. He's relishing the sweetness. That is the nature of the higher devotees. Same things will be discussed. This is indicated in Brihad Bhagavatamritam. Vishampayana Rishi, Jaini, Purgit Maharaj. Purgit Maharaj says, I heard Mahabharata from Vishampayana Rishi, but not with the same kind of sweetness that you've told the same thing. So that's a hint, an indication. And when Srila Prabhupada was on the Jaladuta boat, we were telling the other day, just to recapitulate, he's thinking about this boat, it's called, you know, the water messenger or the ocean messenger. It's going to, so. They had like six cabins that they give the people. It's a cargo ship, but they allow a limited number of passengers. The lady who owned the company didn't want to give him passage, not because it's any big deal to her. She thought, he's so old. What if he dies? Then I'll be, you know, have the death of a sadhu. That's why she kept trying to avoid this, and he kept pushing, and she finally relented. But when he entered there, they give you a little diary because it's a 30-day voyage. It's not getting on an airplane, you know, and stepping off in Europe or America. 30 days. So you have a little diary, and Prabhupada's a meticulous diarist. And I had the privilege of seeing that diary. And for it has, like, things like grocery list, or because it starts off in Calcutta, then they go down to South India, Comoran, wherever that is, and you know, he notes where they're going. But then you start finding little interesting things, like a few days into the trip, he's saying, now you see, he's feeling separation from Vrindavan. So now I'm feeling separation from my worshipable lords, Radha Damodar, Radha Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, you know, starts naming all these deities, and he's feeling separation from them. Then a few pages more, he says, daily I am relishing the nectarine of Sri Chaitanya Charitamritam, the source of my all vitality. That's a telling. So he's reading Chaitanya Charitamritam on the ship. It's invigorating him. He's getting, you know, it's life-giving nectar. And one about the ship flying smoothly, that's after the heart. He has two heart attacks. And those, you see like a gash over these two pages, which covers a few days. And the first thing he does, like to feel better, is he makes some bhati chachari, that it's a Bengali comfort food. Two potatoes cooked in the bhati, means the little bowl, in a certain way, with mustard oil and salt only, but it's very, very tasteful. And he starts getting his strength back. Then when he's in the, it reaches America, but they can't, what do you call it, disembark. You have to wait a few days for things to be approved or whatever. He writes these two poems. One, Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna. The other one, Preaching Bhagavad Dharma in America. And once on the anniversary of his coming, I was in Washington, D.C., and he was there at the time, and these poems were being read to him. And he was listening to them, and the one about preaching, it said, you know, it was this description of what the people in America are like. And then it goes, you know, Tada Baba, Tamo, Tada Raja, Tamo Baba, Kamala Bastayati, Cheta, Cheta, Itayarnadidam, Stitam, Sadve, Prasidati, and saying, the populace is overwhelmed by the modes of passion, and it starts describing different things. And Prabhupada was listening in Spanish, he said, how could I know? I hadn't got off the ship. He thought that was really funny. In other words, it's not that he hadn't experienced there. So what is contained in the Bhagavatam is not applicable. Of course it is. You're only going to, what you're going to see will mirror or reiterate what you've read in the scripture. But besides that, and he signs it also, your insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, and he says, I think you brought me here for some purpose. And this shows his utter giving himself over to Krishna and the order of his guru. He said, you've brought me here for some purpose. So if you want to make me dance, he says, then Lord, make me dance, make me dance. Oh Lord, make me dance. Like I'm your pup. Do whatever you want with me. And Srila Guru Maharaj said, that type of exclusive dedication, he said, holy giving himself over to his Guru Maharaj's order to the total exclusion of all personal consideration, that brought divine power down to work on his behalf. And that his supplication and the prayer to the lotus feet of Krishna, where he's saying to Krishna, that he said, I cried out in separation to you today. I was feeling great separation from you, and I'm hankering for those days. And uses as the expression luta, puti, which Guru Maharaj says he and Krishna, they'll be running, frolicking, joking, playing, arguing, you know, doing all this type of play in the forest of Vrindavan. So he said, I'm looking forward to that day and feeling great distress and separation. I made this appeal to you. I cried out to you today in that sort of remembrance. And then with this prayer that he's saying, this service from my guru, in Saraswati Thakur, but the ultimate guru, Srimati Radharani, Guru, we take it as her delegation, saying, my guru is Radharani, and she's giving me this service to do. And I feel myself unfit and unqualified to do that. But if you could help me, then she will, as pleased as she will be with me, then how pleased she'll be with you for helping me do, you'll get her association. So if you want to enlist Krishna in some seva, then it will be on the promise of some association with Srimati Radharani, what better way to entice Krishna? So Guru Maharaj said in this way, irresistibly, with irresistible charm, Krishna became enlisted in that seva. So the divine empowerment, and he said, and more specifically, back to what we said initially, that Nityananda Prabhu favors that community that Prabhupada came in, and Shaktivesh empowerment of Nityananda Prabhu. And he's always expressing his appreciation for Nitai Gauranga, he established the deities, Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. I remember once being in Atlanta, Georgia, at the temple there. Prabhupada came, was on tour, and he came, he said, because he'd been in Venezuela, then Miami, and then to Atlanta, so he first said, I'm coming from Caracas. That was Caracas, what he goes, I'm coming from Caracas. And then we stopped in Miami. Miami. It sounded like it was Bengali. Miami. Miami. And he said, and now here, and each place they had Nitai Gaurachandra. That's the point I'm trying to make. They had Gaur Nitai deities in Caracas, Gaur Nitai in Miami, and Gaur Nitai in Atlanta. And then the place, there's around 300 devotees there, and he said, and I can see that your temple is the best. And, you know, they went insane. And there he told Srup Damodar Maharaj about forming the Bhaktivedanta Institute for scientists preaching. And I remember one line he told him, he said, I want you to present Krishna consciousness in bombastic language. The word bombastic itself is, what do you call it? Onomatopoetic. It sounds like what bombastic, because scientists are always using terms that most people don't understand. So he said, now present Krishna consciousness using the same bombastic language that they do. And on a morning walk there, I was on a traveling preaching party called the Library Party. We used to present his books to professors in universities, get them in the university libraries in particular. And I said to him on one morning walk, I said, these professors, some of them, they can't believe that one person is producing all these books. That's really 60 volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam, 17 volumes Chaitanya Charitamrita. 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita were published in 17 months. 1 month for 17 months. 400 average, 400 page hardbound book, fully illustrated. So, and he was lying at home. He said, oh, I have so many assistants. He named Sanskrit editor Jayadvaita Swami, English editor. And I thought, should I leave it at that? And I said, no, Prabhupada, they know you have some assistants. I said, but they just can't believe that one man is producing all of this literature. They're astounded, you know. And Prabhupada stopped. And then he turned around and he goes, they are astounded. I said, I am astounded. And I can't believe it either. And he was reading them that week. Adi Leela Volume 1 had just come out, and he was realizing he was, you know, a conduit, an instrument for so much divine current. That's what I said before, an example. Because people, they sometimes misunderstand Vaishnava humility as if they're people suffering from low self-esteem or some, pop psychology analysis. But it's not like that. It's far beyond what they've conceived. And the example I give, to at least give a hint of what's going on, is superconductivity. They have something Now we're back to bombastic language. Superconductors means they take a ceramic. We all know what ceramics are, right? It's the same in like 3 or 4 different languages, ceramic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And if you try and bring it towards absolute zero, which means like the extremes of cold, right? Because when we go to Siberia, once the devotees were having an argument, someone told me, it's like, oh, it's been, you know, 40 below zero. And another devotee said, oh, that's exaggeration. It hasn't been more than 30 below zero. <I'm> like, okay. Don't listen to him. I'm like, oh, it's only minus 30 at most. And guys. So anyway, absolute zero is around minus 350. So they say, so when these ceramics reach near absolute zero, they achieve super conductivity. They're just like, generally, we'll have a copper wire. And you know, in India, Mahananda could now give a lecture on hot wires I have known. So in India, you know, you put too much. You put a cordless kettle in the new buildings. You don't notice it so much, but in the older ones, the plug melts because of the resistance. I haven't studied this, but there's resistance, and that's why you get all that heat, right? And so they're imperfect and they're conducting, but a superconductor means zero resistance to the current. So these ceramics, when they go approach absolute zero, become superconductors of current. So we can say in this way, Guru Maharaj says, you measure the depth of Vaishnavata, or Vaishnavism, devotion, in the inverse, to the degree that one expresses themselves as fallen, and epitomized in Kaviraj Goswami's statement, Jagai Madhai Hoite Murise Papishta, Purishe Rakita Hoite Murise Lagishta. I'm lower, I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai, and I'm lower than the worm and the stool. This sounds very unpalatable to hear, but what he's saying is, what his conception is so high, so inconceivably wonderful, noble, magnanimous, that it's caused in him these sort of feelings to descend in his heart, how low I am, because what he's appreciating is so high. So rather than the ostentatious display of achievement that people, they try to give people the impression that they've achieved some high state of devotion, realization, etc., you see, the Vaishnava is the opposite. They're saying how much in want they are, how great their necessity is, how lacking they are. That's the symptom, that the depth of necessity is the symptom of how much genuine appreciation there is for the spiritual substance. So this is what Guru Maharaj calls negativity, expressions of negativity. He said, are the wealth of the Vaishnava. So, if we take, and that's humility, right? Humility is the outcome of the being in proximity to greatness. And being in proximity to infinite greatness brings out the greatest depth of humility, which takes one to the greatest depth of negativity, and approaching absolute zero, means zero resistance to current, they achieve a state of superconductivity. So in the case of Srila Swami Maharaj Prabhupada, that's what it means to be Shakta Vaishavatar. He has zero resistance. His ego has been demolished. Vyavasayamika Bhuti Ekeha Kurunandana. He's given himself as fodder for the will of Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Mahaprabhu. So he achieved the state of superconductivity. And anyone who came in connection with him became subsequently empowered to extend Krishna consciousness to others. And that's how the Krishna consciousness movement spread all over the world. So on the basis of that, that's why Srila Gurudev is saying, that same person who I sat at the table with, affectionately offering me puris and sati, you know, who was Abhai Babu, disguised as a mild-mannered householder, you know, that he's the Jagat Guru who spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's inconceivable. So he quoted Raghupati Upadhyay saying, Kam Pratikatai Tamise, Pratitamayatu. Who believes me? Who can I tell? That he was saying about Mahaprabhu, he transferred this verse to praise Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj. And this was at the opening of the Mayapur, what was supposed to be the headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. The inauguration, the installation of the deities, Guru Maharaj comes, when Gurudev spoke this, started quoting this sloka to praise Swami Maharaj, Krishna's Babaji Maharaj left up and went, "Hey, Krishna!" He said, you know, like, he's captured everyone with, you know, this is just so perfect. What better praise could you give? And this was praise before it became fashionable to declare that Swami Maharaj is my Shiksha Guru and all this kind of stuff. Gurudev wasn't playing some kind of a game. He lived with Srila Swami Maharaj. When at that meeting and after praising him so much, and he said, and that he reveres my Guru Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj as his Shiksha Guru and me as like his son, this is more, you know, it's everything to me. I'm so happy. And when Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj spoke, he said, yes, what Govinda Maharaj said is true. I revere Srila Sridhar Maharaj as my Shiksha Guru, and I see Govinda Maharaj as my affectionate son. So, you know, we're always lost in appreciation of that, and can consider ourselves, you know, triply fortunate to have connection with them all. They're all unique. From the same plane, we're from the same plane, but greater magnitude. We're always deferring and praising him to the extreme. That quote, he said, when we consider what he has done, you know, we are happy, we are glad, we are proud. When he said these things, they were full of heart and affection. This was not a calculated flattery. Not that type of thing at all. But genuine appreciation is mutual. The appreciation they had for one another. And in his last meeting, when Srila Prabhupada came here, he said, the Guru Maharaj said, I have no association. And this is not to decry the position of his disciples. His disciples are wonderful, extraordinary people. They're responsible for Krishna consciousness spreading all over the world. Not like that. But it means, no peer association. From one point of view, we'll say, who is his peer? He's incomparable, yes, but he means transcending that identity. He also relishes this type of association with his god brothers. So he told Srila Guru Maharaj, if you'll come there and stay with me, then we can have association, other people can hear from you. I mean, he was serious. He said, I'm going to build an elevator. You won't have to walk up any stairs. The planetarium you envisioned, I'll build it. It'll be done under your direction. It was pushing him like that. And Guru Maharaj, and Swami Maharaj said, of course, you can come to your mat sometimes. Guru Maharaj said, oh, I can go sometimes. But he was surprised also that in 1977 at last meeting that Srila Sarnaraj was talking about his disappearance, and Guru Maharaj thought, because his health was not good, certainly he will outlive me, and he's traveling all over the world and doing so many things. Why is he talking like that now? But that is in fact the year that he left, and amazingly true is that up to the final day, he was on his disappearance bed with Jayadvaita Swami holding the, he did all his translation on a dictaphone. Like they're reading things to him, and they're holding it, and he's giving purports to, up to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. So Gurudev was saying about Bhakti Swarupa Goswami Maharaj saying, no retirement, I want to die in the saddle, or die with your, whatever you want to say, he says, in harness, in the saddle, with your boots on, in other words, fighting. You know, so he was preaching up to the last moment, and the words of Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, you know, everyone in connection with the Krishna consciousness movement, and especially those from the Western countries. Oh, and what's the word, you know, a debt that cannot be repaid to him for extending Krishna consciousness outside of India. That's why we all, if we're here and this mission, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have discovered Guru Maharaj and Chaitanya Saraswati Math if it was not for Srila Prabhupada. And everyone, everywhere, owes him, you know, great debt and appreciation. And Gurudev said, and it's so easy to glorify him and appreciate him. He said, Guru Maharaj, he said, that requires some more sukriti. People may not always understand that. It requires some qualification to appreciate. That's why he's more appreciated by the higher section. Because they have some qualification. They can understand the value of who he is and the substance he has. You know. So, but in the case of Srila Swami Maharaj, everyone gets it. You know, my brother, you know, like he read the book, the Leela Lamrita, he thought it was like the quintessential, like what they call it, you know, American story. The American dream, so-called, and it's like the Hollywood story, is that the impoverished person, the immigrant, comes to America, he has no money, he has no resources, he has no support, family or anything. And then, you know, he somehow struggles, and then, you know, he ascends, keeps ascending and ascending, and he achieves the quote, American dream. Prabhupada's the American dream, actually, personified. He was the realization of the American dream. Because he went there with nothing. You know, we're talking $12, whatever, a crate of Bhagavatams. And Guru Maharaj has said that, you know, generally when you take the Krishna consciousness, he said, don't expect them to have a parade in your honor, right? Rather, the world goes against you, your family may go against you, your friends may turn against you. He said, so don't expect a parade. But Swami Maharaj Prabhupada is the exception. Because I saw it as Krishna's, I don't know if I say final gift, but the crown gift of all the gifts was that he who came to Manhattan, New York, that's the heart of New York. New York City means Manhattan. People in other parts of New York City, if they say, I'm going to the city, it means Manhattan. There, as in Prabhupada's own style of propaganda, when he got a skyscraper temple in the middle of Manhattan in New York, that person who entered as a pauper, and he's sitting there making, like, what do you call it? Talking points for the upcoming Rath Yatra festival. And he said like this, he said, America is the most important country. He's telling newspaper reporters and
people like that, prominent people. He said, America is the most important country in the world. The most important city in America is New York. The most important street in New York City is Fifth Avenue. On that street, we're having our Rav Yadro festival. That's how he would present it. And like, he couldn't contain his joy for him. And so we saw three chariots with police, Fifth Avenue in New York, the most important street in New York City. What's the word? Cordoned, you know, blocked off, closed off. Policemen up and down both sides of the street, and three giant chariots surrounded by devotees doing kirtan. Maybe 1,000 devotees singing and dancing and chanting. And Prabhupada, as he always did, sitting on Subhadra's cart, banging on a gong and having kirtan. So he's like on this parade on a giant chariot and on Fifth Avenue in New York City. It's inconceivable. That was like Krishna's gift to him. He came this way and this is how he left. On a chair, on Jagannath's chariot on Fifth Avenue in New York City. So I think that was like a dream realized. So, and that was in 1976. And with a year later, he disappeared from this world. But as Gurudev would say, he said, we're still taking his prasad. And he means like, so many people are coming and joining. Gurudev would say, we're still taking his prasad. And when somebody would come here to hear from Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj would say, where am I going to find a better friend than Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada? He's still engaging me in preaching. He's not even living in the world, and still he's giving me preaching engagement. Jai Shulesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Avirba Shiroba Mahamahosavati Ki Jai Divine Grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Hari Brajakacharya Satyasuddha Shri Srimad Shulesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Shiroba Mahamahosavati Ki Jai Tai Go Primanandi.